This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 162 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. As I like to say after week one each year, it does you no good to overreact in fantasy football after just 1 week of football. But you've definitely got to react. It's not like week one is irrelevant. And that's what we'll do with this week's 15 Transactions podcast. We'll react. We'll look at things as rationally as we can without letting the small one-week sample skew the bigger picture. Before we get going, I want to let you guys know about NumberFire Premium. With award-winning daily fantasy football tools, survivor pool picks, gambling predictions, and premium content from our top experts, NumberFire Premium has everything you need to dominate in 2018. Best of all, Late Round Podcast listeners get their first month of any level of premium access for just $9.99 with promo code CHAMPION. For more info, visit numberfire.com/premium. That's numberfire.com/premium. Hold Ben Roethlisberger. Look, Ben Roethlisberger did not have a good week one. That much is obvious. Anytime that you throw three interceptions and make so many costly mistakes against a division rival on the road, you didn't have a good week. But hold tight, Ben Roethlisberger owners. The Steelers are at home in week two, where Ben Roethlisberger has historically seen way better production. In fact, in fantasy football relevant games, this excludes week 17s, over the last 5 years, on the road, when Ben Roethlisberger has thrown 20 or more passes, so basically any regular start for Ben Roethlisberger on the road over the last 5 years, he's averaged 14.35 fantasy points scored per contest. At home, that number jumps to 22.05. And Ben is also going to see the Chiefs this week, a team that has a leaky secondary personnel-wise that just surrendered over 400 yards to Phillip Rivers. And that Chiefs-Steelers game opened up with one of the highest game totals of the week. And Pittsburgh's a 5-point favorite. On paper, the matchup is absolutely there for Ben Roethlisberger to have a bounce back in week two. Don't give up just yet. Sell Adrian Peterson. So over the last year, if you've learned anything about Adrian Peterson, it's that he's capable of having these monster games, but he's also capable of posting duds. He's a boom or bust running back in fantasy football. Honestly, what happened on Sunday is pretty similar to what happened with Adrian Peterson in his debut for the Cardinals last season. There was a severe positive game flow for Peterson, and as a result, he saw a large percentage of his team's backfield carries. The main problem with Adrian Peterson is he's not going to be Washington's main pass-catching back. That's not Adrian Peterson's game. And not only that, Washington has a pretty good pass-catching back in Chris Thompson. And Chris Thompson actually played a fairly high number of snaps on Sunday, or at least more than I would have expected, given the positive game flow and given the fact that Chris Thompson hasn't played in a football game since last year. Adrian Peterson ended up only seeing 53% of Washington's snaps. That's easily outside the top 20 at the running back position in week one. Will Adrian Peterson be relevant this year? Yes. Adrian Peterson will see early down work for Washington, and when they're in these positive game flow situations, he should be fine in fantasy football. But I think that it's a good idea to take the name of Adrian Peterson and start shopping him. See what you can get for him. That can never hurt. Add TJ Yeldon. I feel like TJ Yeldon is a waiver wire add every single season. This year, it's because Leonard Fournette left week one's game with a hamstring injury. And when he left, TJ Yeldon came in and he dominated the backfield work. So quite simply, if Leonard Fournette misses time, you're going to want TJ Yeldon because he can serve as a potential RB2 in fantasy football. Sell Derrick Henry. So I wasn't all that high on Derrick Henry entering the year, but I was certainly high on Derrick Henry on Sunday in a game against the Miami Dolphins, who no longer have Ndamukong Suh. And then Derrick Henry went out and ran the ball 10 times for 26 yards and a 20% success rate. Success rate is a measure of the percentage of positive expected points runs made by a running back, according to NumberFire's net expected points model. But Deion Lewis had 16 carries for 75 yards in the score. He had a success rate that was higher than 46%. He out-targeted Henry 8-1. He played 29 more snaps, and he out-snapped Derrick Henry 14-0 on third down plays. Oh, and by the way, he saw just as many goal line rushes. And it's not like the Titans were playing far from behind all game either. It's not like they were in this ultra-negative game script which forced Deion Lewis onto the field. They did trail for a lot of the game, but they ran 44 plays when the score was within 6 points. That was more than the average team in week one. They ran more plays in a neutral script than the average team this week. And if Henry's usage is that sensitive to the score, that's not a good thing. If they're trailing by 3 points or 4 points and Derrick Henry's not on the field, that's not good. Deion Lewis is the guy that you want, and my fear is that Henry's season doesn't get a whole lot better aside from a handful of touchdown-dependent weeks. Add Philip Dorsett. So Philip Dorsett played 76% of New England snaps in week one, which was the second highest rate on the team behind only Chris Hogan. Yes, Chris Hogan gave you the fantasy performance that he gave you, and he was on the field more than any other New England wide receiver in week one. But Dorsett ended up catching all 7 of his targets for 66 yards and a score. He's seeing snaps, he's seeing targets, and he saw production in one of the best offenses in football. That's enough to deserve a waiver wire ad. Hold Jay Ajayi, add Darren Sproles, drop Corey Clement. I'm a numbers-driven analyst, so when I see that Jay Ajayi played only 40% of his team's snaps in week one, and he scored twice, that makes me think that I should sell Jay Ajayi. But there needs to be some context here. After the Eagles-Falcons game, head coach Doug Peterson did say that Jay Ajayi was sort of eased into the game. He was coming off a foot injury, so they didn't just utilize him right away. And that's why we saw Jay Ajayi with just 3 first-half carries against the Falcons on opening night. And then Ajayi ended up carrying the ball 12 times in the second half, where he scored both of his touchdowns. So I don't think selling Jay Ajayi right now is a great idea. He handled the team's goal line work, which was just 1 carry, but he saw that carry, and at the very least, he's going to see the most early down work on a team that has one of the better situations for running backs in football. I wouldn't go after Jay Ajayi only because he's coming off this 2-score game, but I don't think selling him is a good idea right now either. And also, you should be looking to add Darren Sproles, who played 16 more snaps than Corey Clement while seeing 5 carries and 7 targets. And all the while, Corey Clement, at this point, is nothing more than a handcuff who may have a random spiked week, but that's not going to be predictable. Add Quincy Enunwa. So rookie Sam Darnold looked pretty strong in his debut on Monday night, and the wide receiver who benefited most from that was Quincy Enunwa. He saw 10 of a possible 21 targets in the Jets offense for an insane 47.6% target share. Now that's not sustainable, but it does at least tell us that he could be Sam Darnold's go-to target this year. And the thing that I thought was interesting with Quincy Enunwa is that his average depth of target was only 6 yards in week one. That could be considered a bad thing because you want your players to catch passes further down the field because that creates more fantasy football scoring opportunities. But the Jets may look to keep things fairly conservative with Sam Darnold. He might look for that safety net. And Quincy Enunwa, as of right now, is absolutely that safety net. Buy Devin Funchess. So Devin Funchess owners might be a little bit upset after a 3-catch, 41-yard performance in week one against Dallas. But he saw 5 of 26 Cam Newton passes, which was good for a 19% target share. That's not as high as his 22% share last year, but it's not far off. And more importantly for Devin Funchess's fantasy stock is that Greg Olsen suffered an injury to the same foot that kept him sidelined last year. I hate when I have to talk about injuries like this, but I'm just trying to be an objective fantasy football analyst here. Greg Olsen might be out for a good bit of time. And last season, Devin Funchess was a much better fantasy performer without Greg Olsen and without Kelvin Benjamin. When those two players were playing significant snaps for the Panthers, Devin Funchess averaged 9.87 PPR points per contest last year. When Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen weren't in the lineup or weren't playing significant snaps, Devin Funchess averaged over 18 PPR points per game. Now, the sample size isn't that big here, and the Panthers have more pass catchers to compete for targets this year than they did last year. But the upside is definitely there for Devin Funchess, and it's not likely that his owner is super attached to him after a down week one performance. Add Nyheim Hines. So back in July, if you guys listened to this podcast, you know that I was high on Nyheim Hines. And then he had a horrible preseason where he couldn't hold onto the football. But in week one, the Colts threw Hines onto the field for 37 snaps, which equated to over 45% of their total snap count. He played only 9 fewer snaps than starter Jordan Wilkins. And as we know, Nyheim Hines is a good pass catcher. He saw 9 targets, which was roughly a 17% target share, and he caught 7 of them for 33 receiving yards. And he also carried the ball 5 times for 19 yards. The production wasn't necessarily there, but the usage was absolutely there. Hines is someone who can carve out a role in this Indianapolis passing game, even when Marlon Mack returns. Nyheim Hines is a Swiss Army knife. He's not going to play the same type of role that Marlon Mack would play. And Indianapolis has plenty of room for someone to step in and see more work as a receiver in that offense. And the Colts could find themselves in negative game scripts often this year, which will help Nyheim Hines' cause. Sell Jacksonville Jaguar receivers. So any of you holding on to Keelan Cole or D.D. Westbrook or maybe Dante Moncrief, you were hoping that one of them would emerge in week one. And literally the opposite of that happened. No Jags wideout played more than 75% of the team's snaps. Keelan Cole had the most. And D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole, and Dante Moncrief saw 6, 4, and 5 targets. The Jags are a team that wants to run the football. They ran 34 passing plays to 28 rushing plays on Sunday in a neutral game script. Passing opportunities will already be limited in that offense. And when you add in this target distribution, you're just looking at an unpredictable fantasy football mess. Buy George Kittle. So as I said in my 15 transactions column, simply selling high and buying low in fantasy football won't get you very far. I mean, there are times where I need to talk about selling high and buying low, but you can't just continuously do that and think that you're going to win. You can't just be obvious. So here's a buy high stance. Buy George Kittle. Get George Kittle. Kittle had a lot going for him entering the year. He had a shallow 49ers pass-catching depth chart, he had strong efficiency during his rookie season, and he had higher than expected usage in the red zone last year. He didn't see a high percentage of the team's targets last year, but he still finished with the 6th most targets within the opponent's 10-yard line at the tight end position. And then in week 1 against Minnesota, which wasn't an easy matchup, Kittle ended up seeing 9 of a possible 33 Jimmy Garoppolo targets for a 27% target share, with 2 of those looks coming in the red zone. Now, Marquise Goodwin was banged up and he only played about 26% of the 49ers snaps, and that might have forced looks towards the middle of the field and towards George Kittle a bit. But Kittle clearly will be part of this offense in 2018. He's somehow still on over 60% of ESPN Fantasy League waiver wires, but even if he's not available in your league, it's not a bad idea to shoot a trade offer to the Kittle owner because he could be a very legitimate tight end asset this year. Add Philip Lindsay, drop Devontae Booker. So there was a very clear backfield split in Denver in week 1 with Royce Freeman leading the way, playing a little over 39% of the team's snaps. But it wasn't Devontae Booker with the second most snaps in that Denver backfield. It was undrafted free agent Philip Lindsay, who was on the field for just 3 fewer snaps than Royce Freeman. Lindsay also saw some pretty strong usage. He ran the ball 15 times, which was the same as Freeman, and he saw 3 more targets when Royce Freeman didn't have any. That's not a good thing for Royce Freeman owners, and anyone who is thinking that Devontae Booker was a later round value in drafts can just drop him. Devontae Booker only saw 2 carries on Sunday. Add Geronimo Allison. So if it wasn't clear before week 1, it should be now. Geronimo Allison is Green Bay's number 3 wide receiver. And on Sunday night, Geronimo Allison played 70% of the Packers snaps, with Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams playing about 87% and 98% of the snaps. Basically, being on the field with Aaron Rodgers is not a bad thing, and it already translated to fantasy production for Geronimo Allison. He caught 5 passes for 69 yards and a touchdown. And according to airyards.com, Geronimo Allison actually led all Packers receivers in air yards. So this all makes him a strong waiver wire add this week. Add Jared Cook. So if you listened to the matchup show last week, then you would have heard me talk up Jared Cook as a sneaky play in week 1. But the expectation wasn't this. The expectation wasn't Jared Cook going out against the Rams and catching 9 balls for 180 yards. But I'll most definitely take it. So the Raiders didn't really attack the Rams cornerbacks, which is why I was high on Jared Cook in the first place. Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson combined for just 7 targets on Monday night. Jared Cook ended the game with 12. Now, that kind of split won't likely continue, but that doesn't mean that Jared Cook won't be a piece of this offense in 2018. Oakland really lacks reliable pass catchers outside of Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson. And if you recall the early season schedule analysis that I did back in July, Jared Cook has a very favorable schedule to start the season. In week 2, he gets the Broncos, and then he gets the Dolphins and the Browns. Each of those teams either have personnel that might struggle against the tight end position, or they have good cornerbacks that will funnel targets towards the tight end position. So if you're one of the unfortunate Delanie Walker owners, I think that Jared Cook should be one of your higher priority adds this week. Add the Washington defense. So there really aren't a lot of clear defensive streamers in week 2, but Washington isn't in the worst spot in the world. They're at home, they're pretty strong 5.5-point favorites, and they're facing the Colts, who allowed 2 sacks, 9 quarterback hits, an interception, and a fumble recovery in week 1 against Cincinnati. And not only that, but Washington themselves were pretty impressive on Sunday, destroying that Arizona Cardinals offense. Though, as we move forward, a lot of defenses might destroy that Arizona Cardinals offense. So as I do each week, I give you a 16th transaction on this show that you can't find in my 15 transactions column on numberfire.com, and this week's is to buy Dalvin Cook. Cook was admittedly not all that effective on the ground against San Francisco in week one. He actually only had one successful run out of his 16, according to Number Fire's expected points model, which is less than ideal. But volume is what matters here. Volume is what matters in fantasy football. There was fear that Latavius Murray would significantly dig into Cook's workload, and while Murray did see 11 carries, there was also about an 80-20 split in snap rate between the two running backs. And Dalvin Cook was also awesome through the air, catching 6 of 7 targets for 55 yards. They even lined him up in the slot a couple of times. And then meanwhile, Latavius Murray didn't have a single target. So the arrow is pointing up for Dalvin Cook, and given his outing wasn't that spectacular in week one, you may be able to get a nice deal for him. And that's especially true if you sell the fact that Latavius Murray saw a lot of volume in the backfield. That's going to be it for today's show, though. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. I do a mailbag show each Friday, and you can feel free to submit questions for that show via Twitter. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you later in the week for the matchup show.